Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
I say that and I'm serious, okay? Even when I smile, I'm still serious, okay? But it's a joy. You know, I look forward to this Sunday, and, it's something good. But this was a poem about mothers from an anonymous source. And anyways, a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It's made of deep devotion, of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may. For nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. And it says the source is unknown. So, you know, there are whole books written to that end. You know, I just went through about 3,000 books to arrange them up for the barn sale. And so, you know, the major, category of books at a book sale at a church, of course, is, you know, Christian inspirational books. And the number of books written specifically to moms, you know, to encourage them, to thank them, and that sort of thing. So, you know, this is not wasted on us. I think that, you know, this thing that has been going on for some generations has taken hold. You know, the Word told us a long time ago, you know, actually in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment concerning human relationship, or the last commandment concerning how to honor God, was simply this: honor your father and mother. All right, but God actually added a promise with it. He said that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And it's repeated in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1-3. You know, and so you know, at the very beginning of all of this, you know, that that God commands us to honor them, to honor our mothers. You know, those that are among us that have born children. And I want to add into this category, as I do every year, you know, I always say something. You might say, well, I'm not married, I don't have children, I can't have children for whatever reason, everything like that. But I said, everybody can have children. I said, because there are people where the job is far from done, and they need moms, all right? There are people out there that just desperately need a mother. I'm always reminded of that cute little scene from the movie Hook. And the guy who's playing Peter Pan in the movie, which is Robin Williams, is in this scene, and he's really wanting to stay there and fight with Captain Hook. And his little daughter is talking to him. He says, no, he's just a very bad man who needs a mommy very badly, you know. And and it's like, you know, that just there are people out there who need a mother really badly, you know. So. You know, don't ever feel you've been denied that privilege, because the privilege is out there waiting. But, you know, mother's love in the scriptures is used as a superlative. You know, one of the names for God, about his all-powerfulness, about his ability to provide for everybody, El Shaddai, really portrays him as the one who's able to nurse everybody. Okay? You know, it's one of those ones where, you know, we sort of, you know, hide that definition a little bit because we're kind of a little squeamish about all that, but that's what he's talking about, is this ability to meet the needs of all who come to him, you know. And you know, and but then it's used as a superlative over in Isaiah that there's this connection between the love of God and a mother's love, all right, and that they are both stubbornly committed to love and to a love that brings you back. Okay, Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? And then God says, even if she forgets you, I won't. And he's using this as a superlative. He's saying, look, you know, here's, you know, if you try to understand my love for you, this is more real to you. Okay, you see your mother and how your mother was with you. You know, understand something. I will exceed her. You know, and when God uses you as an example and says, I'll go even beyond you, that's saying something, isn't it? You know, as far as, you know, God's opinion of, well, one, the love you typically show, but even in those times when it's challenging, you know, and I think mothers somehow intuitively know this, the love you're called to show, whether it feels good or doesn't, you know. And so, you know, the writer of Proverbs describes this love as something sought for among men, all right? And it, you know, keep in mind, Proverbs is a man writing to his son about being a man, okay? But I'm going to borrow from there because there's a very powerful scripture there. It said, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That does not describe many of the men that I've come across in life. That describes my mother, okay? And, you know, but this mother's love, you know, it is a consistent, constant. And I always say that mother's love is more the unconditional side of love. There are sides of God's love that are far from unconditional. If my people who are called by my name will, then I will, right? Okay? And so, I mean, there are places in scriptures where the love of God is not unconditional. But there are places in the scriptures where God says, I've had it! I'm going to just wipe you off the planet. That's it. You know, you're not going to live out this year. I'm going to destroy the whole place. I'm just done with you. All right. And somebody says, oh, we're really sorry. Well, okay, let's try 5 more years then. And I mean, and you see this unconditional thing of God's love where it's like he will not abandon forever even those that he has judged. You know, and you just watch him with Israel. And you think to yourself, he put up with them and all that? You just can't believe it, you know. And where's the other place I see this? You know, I see it, you know, in a mother's love, you know, just this coming back, you know, coming back. Sometimes you have to step away, but then you come back. A mother's bond of stubborn love actually begins before you're born. From the first moment that a mom knows that she's carrying a child, all right, the relationship begins, the bond, all right, and, you know, and the burden begins. You know, who else but God can say, I knew you before you were born? But mothers know their children before they're born. You know, from the time, even before you feel any movement, you know, just that you know there's a little one growing in there. You know, that whole, you know, what is a fetus? Just means little one, you know, and there's a little one in there. That child's growing. And that there's this knowing that takes place just because of that. And, you know, I know that, you know, because of that, there's this, like I say, this connection, and when it's injured, that connection sometimes can be injured in ways that I don't even grasp. That it goes back before. I remember my children from when they were first born. I mean, I was right outside the room when Sarah came rolling out. It was a C-section delivery, emergency C-section, so they kicked me out. Anyways, but I was right there, and this little pink thing went rolling by, and I said, oh, yeah. So, I mean, I knew her from the moment she was born, you know, and then Tim, I was right there in the operating room for the C-section, and, you know, he popped out, and there he was there, and I knew him from that moment. And, you know, each of my children, as they came along, you know, just this opportunity to know them from the moment they were born. I think probably the point at which I grasped most profoundly how different that was for their mother, my wife, than for me was in the loss of one of our children, you know. And, you know, and we really stuck very close together, you know, through all that. And literally to the place where sometimes she'd be crying, so I'd have to not be crying, and then I'd be crying, so she'd have to hold me a bit, and that sort of thing. And just talking about the loss and realizing that there was something went down into the core of my wife's being that was just different than what I was capable of feeling. You know, that there was this burden. All right, now, burden, you know, in English now, the word burden is like a bad thing. In the Bible, not so much. It's just a heavy weight, you know. Fact is that, you know, when children are born into the world orphans, they have no one to carry that weight. And it impacts them. It impacts them for years to come. You know, they struggle, you know, and I really want it, you know, and that sort of thing. You know, questions that are hard to answer because they're not looking for information. They're looking for knowledge. You know, they're looking for that ability to know down deep inside something that was communicated that, you know, without words, you know, And, you know, the children, you know their moms before they're born. You know, they know your voice. They know your smell. You know, they've done, the universities love to do studies like this, don't they? You know, and, you know, and they figured out that a baby could figure out which mom was his mom from her smell, like from birth. You know, that they knew their mother's voice from birth. You know, that there's this bond, you know, and with it comes this burden, which is this realization that if everyone else abandons this little person, I won't. You know, I may have to back off sometimes. I may have to slow down sometimes. But in the end, I know I'll come back to it. You know, even at those times when you can be furious with a child, and sometimes you say things that you maybe really don't mean, or maybe you did at the moment, but you know, it's just they pushed every button you had. And but even in that moment, you know, I'm saying empty words here. You know, I will come back. I will come back to loving this person. You know, and that's a rare kind of love. You know, it's you know, over in God told something to Jeremiah the prophet. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." I had to get there and I had a mom. You know, before you were even formed. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Okay, this is what he says to Jeremiah. So in the first chapter of the book, so it's right at the very beginning. He's talking to him about the call that's upon his life. And he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know, and you know, and the only person who gets close to that is mom. You know, and there's this connection I just started seeing there. Psalm 22:9 tells us that it was through a mother's love and faithful care that babies are taught to look to God and trust in Him. You know, there's this amazing thing, moms, about children. You know, that part where they get to where they start asking why, everything's why, you know, and you know, William's got a little bit of that still going on with him. You know, it's like we're going to the store, why? And I was like, I don't know, just get stuff or something. You know, it's like, it's just why. That's a very interesting question, because why implies that there's someone out there that would be responsible for what is happening, all right? That in other words, that there's this awareness of God that's in little kids. In fact, you know, even some famous atheists have said we're all born theists. You know, we're all born believing in God, you know, and that they realized that they had actually come to their atheistic beliefs by rejecting things that they had believed, you know, from their earliest days. And the Bible tells us that that he says, you know, you watched over me when I was in the womb. He says, and you taught me to trust you at my mother's breast. That's what the Bible says. But in other words, this idea that there's somebody there for me was communicated without words, pre-language, to that child in a way that once they got past you, they knew there was something greater than themselves that they needed to seek after. And they learned that from you, from a mother's faithful care and love. And so mothers carry us before we're born. They carry us after we're born. And they carry us in a lot of ways throughout their lives. And I remember when my mother stopped holding her breath. Okay, imagine this for a moment. I grew up in town of Tonawanda, New York, which is like the nice place where nothing bad really ever happens. If you read the Tonawanda News, it proves it. You know, I mean, it's just, they don't print the Tonawanda News anymore, but a little hometown newspaper that always told the good news. There was never bad news in the Tonawanda News. And my parents moved there on purpose so I'd be safe, all right? You know, to protect me from all the craziness in the world and everything like that. There's a place you go and raise your family and you leave all those problems behind somewhere else. And so imagine when I went off to Bible school and she thought, I don't even know what a Bible school is exactly, but okay. And then she gets a call from Bible school, hey, I'm going to go work for Teen Challenge. What's that? And when I explained to her what Teen Challenge was, which was, you know, I was going to go out to basically the streets and start ministering to drug addicts and criminals and everything like that. She went, oh. She held her breath for 10 years. You know how I know? Because when I called her to tell her that I was leaving Teen Challenge and going to work for a church, she went, oh. I said, Mom, I remember when you took that breath. I says, did you hold your breath for 10 years? She says, you better believe I did. But that's that bond. You know, that's that bond. That, you know, that she was carrying me. I was 30-something years old. Or no, I was 20-something years old. Oh, goodness, was I young. Still wet behind the ears, I think, you know. But I mean, but 20, that is 23 or 24, something like that, when I started working at Teen Challenge. And as far as she was concerned, her baby was going somewhere dangerous. And in her heart, she was carrying me, you know. And, you know, the burden of a mother's heart can be a problem. Okay, it can be a forming influence in somebody's life. It can be a virtue. You know, I thought about this. I thought, you know, because, you know, when you talk about burden bearing, it immediately, let's avoid that. Let's avoid that comes to mind. Let's try to avoid. No, we don't want to carry burdens, right? But wait a minute. What if in life there are actual burdens that were intended by God, and that what if Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is actually true? It is, by the way. But yeah, Ecclesiastes is a strange book, though. I asked one of my professors about that, and I said, why Ecclesiastes, okay? Because it talks about all this really negative stuff. And anyways, he said, well, Proverbs is wisdom for a good day. He said, Ecclesiastes is wisdom for a bad day. You know, but in Ecclesiastes, it says sorrow is better than laughter, and it gives a reason. It says, because through the sadness of the countenance, through going through times that actually make us sad, it says the heart is made better. That people, you know, you ever notice that when you go and you know, somebody's going to be honored at some point in their life, and so then the microphone comes up and they say, so why do you think you became what you became? You know, they never say, oh, it was definitely all the cruises we went on. All right? They never say, man, yeah, there was this one year we went to Disney World and it changed my life. Yeah. Yeah. And you know the thing about the Hallmark special is the only way to get a Hallmark special is to enter into circumstances with no guarantee you'll ever see a Hallmark special. Right? Because that's what makes it a Hallmark special. All right, that's what, if you don't know what a Hallmark special is, it's this kind of sappy story about somebody who went through this terrible set of circumstances and it turns out wonderful, you know. But to get that wonderful ending, like they got, you got to go through the terrible thing, and you got to go through the terrible thing without knowing how it's going to turn out. See, that's the thing. As Christians, get that lesson. Moms already know it, so you know. But I mean, because you made this deal, all right. When you put that child into your arms the first time, you knew. Life is not about me anymore. All right? Life's about you. You don't even know it. Right? But I'm about to live the rest of my life for you. I'm about to carry you in ways that you will never understand until it's too late for you to say thank you. All right? But, you know, the problem is this. Moms choose to stubbornly love someone that they know will cause problems or even pain. Okay? Now, if I'm teaching a course on how to live a good life, right, and I'm not really reading the scriptures to make sure that I know what I'm talking about, right, I would tell you to avoid those circumstances, okay? If somebody's a problem, avoid them, all right? If they're going to cause you pain, get away from them. And in some cases, that's really good advice, okay? There are times when that is really good advice, but apparently not always. Because God loves us, we're a pain, okay? We are a pain. We are a problem, all right? But God loves us, all right? But they choose to stubbornly love someone that they know will cause problems or even pain. To an outsider's eye, they hang on way too long. They should have let go before they got hurt. Does John 3:16 ring a bell? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And you think about this, and this is this very Christ-like stand that mothers take with their children. And sometimes, God bless you, you might not be their biological child. Sometimes somebody will step into your life and be a mother to you. You know? And that's an amazing thing because they chose to love you and bear all that and, you know, you're not their blood. Okay? But they chose to do it anyway. And I think we've all seen times with moms, you know, where they got into a relationship with somebody, lots of problems, lots of pain, can't find the way out of this. Maybe that's because with children, you know, it's like you hope you never had to find a way out of it, you know, and that there's this bond, you know, that just, you cannot explain it. It does not make rational sense. It just is. It's like the love of God. The love of God doesn't make sense. Why would he love us? You know, I mean, we're a mistake. He should just wipe us out and start over again. And it's not that that thought hasn't occurred to him. Okay? He said to Moses, look, I'm tired of these people. I'll wipe them out and I'll start over with you. It's not that that thought never occurred to him, but he didn't. He kept loving us. So then let's think about this forming influence. You know, both mother and child are formed in the midst of the outworking of this relationship. You know, I remember when I discovered that I could make my mother cry. I didn't know that. I mean, my mother used to cry sometimes. I never thought it was me doing it, you know. But I remember somewhere in my, like, preteen, early teen years, I did something and she cried. And I realized, wait a minute, I get the connection. I did this. You're over there. You found out I did that, and you're crying. I made you cry. All right. So I'm being shaped. I'm being formed by this very unusual relationship. Hank Skoronski at the steel plant, the Steel Mountain foreman, never cried over me. Not once. Not one lousy tear. You know, my father chipped a couple of teeth. I don't know if he ever cried over me either. But my mom, you know, in the midst of this being a problem and causing pain, remember prayer of Jabez, he prayed that he wouldn't do that. But we all do. And realizing that at some point I needed to be formed by that a bit. You know, that stubborn love, that I learned things from that stubborn love that I couldn't learn any other way. I had to learn it from my mom. And a part of what defines motherhood is the patience that is willing to stay and live under the stresses of such a relationship. Children are formed by it too. You know, I will sometimes tell you, If you want to live a peaceful life, do not study patient endurance in the scriptures, okay? Moms, you've already been studying. You just maybe don't have the Bible verses to go with it, all right? There is a word where it tells, if you want to be a man of God, tell you what, you need to be, among other things, patient. Look up that word for patient. It's the only place it's used in the entire Bible. It's the Greek word, anexikakos. Not a big deal yet, right? See, no reaction, all right? All right, definition for anexikakos, this thing that we're supposed to be, which I believe we learned from moms. Willing to abide, not visit, abide. This is my address. To live, to dwell, to willing to abide under, not over. You know, we go, well, I'm over it and I'm in victory. You know, it's like, no, under, abide under a load, not a little, a load of grief, sorrow, and ill. Okay. Do you know that there are some ministries that will never take place unless you're willing to do that? You know, there are some people on the planet God is trying to reach that if you aren't willing to go and live under that grief, sorrow, and ill, they'll never be reached. All right. And so the characteristic, at Teen Challenge, we used to say everybody needs a mom and a dad. And by the way, at Teen Challenge, I was mom. All right. I was the one who would listen to your whole story. I was the person who tried to understand the ununderstandable. Okay. At times I had to, ratchet up and just be somebody else, you know. But I mean, but basically, you know, most of my staff were just like, you know, they're more dad, you know. And anyways, and like, and so I there had to be somebody around there that would listen to you, and that tended to be me. But you need, there's people who'll never be reached without this. Okay, so it's good we got moms, right? We didn't have them do it all. That wasn't the goal. See, the goal wasn't that it would be resident in moms, and the rest of us could say, sure, glad there's moms around. Let them do it. We're supposed to be formed by it. In other words, we're supposed to be being discipled by a lot of things. And one of the things that God put in this world we live in to disciple us, to form us, to be like Him, was that mother's love. All right? It's there. All right? And so it's this forming influence. But we'll take it up a little bit more, and let's talk about it as a virtue. All right? Moms choose to stubbornly love someone they know will cause problems, even pain. Remember, that's how the first one started, okay? The problem and the virtue start the same way, okay? But I just want to say this. Much of what I know to be the patient love of God is formed by analogy of what I see here in mothers, okay? Dad, I loved you throughout life, and I had my moments, but you know, I love you. But I'm going to say something here. I did not learn patient love from my father. Okay? I did not learn that willingness to put your arm around somebody who's going through something and stand with them from my father. I learned that from my mother. And You know, that was a virtue. You know, she had a Christian upbringing that she, got a little, got pretty weak with it for a number of years. She objects to me referring to her as having backslid away from it, so I won't say that. But, you know, but for a number of years, she didn't go to church and things like that. I think she still prayed and all and everything like that. But you would see these marks of refinement in her character, all right? And as a pastor and looking back on those experiences, I know she learned them in church. I know she learned them from a Christian mom who taught them to her. And I am forever grateful to a mother who stood with me in life and, you know, and who suffered a lot for that stand that she took. It would have been a cheaper investment for her to have dismissed me from her life and just let me go. But she never did. You know, she never did. She's 87, going to turn 88 this year. And for those who remember Edith Laird, she just turned 90. Just on the phone wishing her a happy birthday. And I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong. I wrote it myself, but I might get my own words wrong. The virtue is simply contained in this, that though the relationship might seem to be imposed on mothers, mothers choose again and again to stubbornly love and not give up. They look, they listen, they look to heaven and sigh. And then they choose again and again to keep on loving us. You know? And that love can take a lot of forms. You know? Sometimes love has to be tough, and, you know, there's a lot written on this whole subject. But moms, thank you. You know, thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of all of our hearts, you know, for that special thing about the love that you have and the willingness to bear that burden. We're talking about burdens the next little while here. But the burden of a mother's heart, you know, to love and be stubborn about it in the face of difficulty, problems, and pain. And we have something to make sure you go home with. However, it looks like we pretty much siphoned most of the young people out of here. But we got roses for you all to take home. And so can somebody volunteer here a little bit? I'm not sure. Can just go back and just, what's that? Go find out if they were planning on handing out those roses, or are they going to leave that to whoever's here? Because coordination this morning has been at a premium because I got, you know, a sick grandchild and da 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 all this kind of stuff, and, you know, people all over. But you know what? Yeah, why don't you just go right ahead and get one there? I'm sure you'll be involved in the distribution here anyway. If you're a mom, you might want to just flag this young man down as he's kind of handing these out. And let's see. They're being slow. Oh, Lizzie went out to see if she could get some. Are we making any progress at all? The negotiations are still ongoing. Sorry, moms. There you go. Yeah, there's no thorns on them, babies. If there is, let me know. All right. So if you're a mom, kind of wave at him. So you get, he's doing one side, and then we do the other. So oh, here they come. Here they come. We'll get the here. Come on. Want to come help? Yeah. Come get these roses. Make sure that all the moms get one. Okay. Good idea. There we go. All right. Yeah. There you go, Libby. Get some roses and pass them out, okay? Make sure that every mom gets one, and make sure the workers out back get them, okay? I had instructions from on high about that. Yeah. Apparently last year I forgot to send the roses out back. Oh, yeah. Okay, make sure, hey, Jonas, go out back and make sure that if there's any workers out back that are moms, and I'm sure there are, that they get those flowers too, okay? They got flowers? Okay. All right. Well, okay, good. Yeah, there's more. Yeah, you can put them right up here. If you run out of places to distribute them, there's even making the flowers. All right. Well, I'm going to pray with you. And then, you know, if you have, a mom in your life that you want to honor and you'd like to take one of these with you, there's no purpose in leaving them here over the week, because by next Sunday, we all know what happens to roses in a week. So, but please feel free to take one or two with you. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for mothers. And we thank you, Lord, for just our awareness, Lord, you gave them to us. And, Lord, you imprinted them with something that's just different. And, Lord, it's something different about you, Lord, that you wanted to bear witness to in our lives. And in those times when we wonder if you're getting tired of listening to us, Lord, we remember our moms. And, Lord, when we wonder sometimes whether or not we've been too much trouble, then we remember them too. And so, Father, we pray, never use the witness of our moms.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.